But thank you, Ben, for leading so far. And we've heard, sung some great carols, haven't you? We've been reminded of great truths. And I do hope all of you, every single one of you, have a happy Christmas this year. And now skip your minds forward to Christmas Day itself. When you open the presents, I don't know how that's done in your family tradition. But we seem to kind of make the same sort of noises at that point every year. We all seem to say the same kind of things. While opening the presents, noises and sounds like, oh, this one's for you. Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, I wanted to. Oh, thank you. It's exactly what I needed. And sometimes you overhear a conversation of things that aren't going so well. Make sure you say thank you to your uncle. Don't cry. Socks are a really thoughtful gift. Things like that. But whatever your Christmas tradition, however, whatever you get under the tree this year, let's take a step back from that a moment. Because if we just think our tradition of gift giving and gift receiving, isn't it all just a little bit weird? Where did that come from? Firstly, we go to extraordinary lengths to just keep the gift hidden in the first place. We go and buy the gift. And then we hide the receipt, or we throw it away. We hide the shopping bags. We put the items either underneath the bed, on top of the wardrobe. And then finally, after all the hiding and the secrecy, finally the wait is over. Christmas Day arrives. The presents are exchanged. And there, as I said, everyone has their own traditions at this point as well. Some families kind of have just a mass of chaos, grab, free fall, rip open the presents, and things everywhere. Other families have far more orders. They sit round in a circle, and each person waits to receive their gift. It's all a bit of a pantomime, it's all a bit ridiculous, but we love it, so we do it anyway. But have we ever thought about why this gift-giving, gift-receiving business is just so serious? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, bring to mind perhaps that Christmas morning in the past where you've been handed that well-thought-of, well-considered present, that gift. Not an Amazon gift card, not a box of chocolates, not even socks. Something really meaningful. Perhaps something really expensive, or better still, something really personal, something really handmade just for you. Maybe you've done that this year for someone else. And now the moment you've been waiting for, you hand over that gift and to your loved one and they take it. And with those really special, with those really personal gifts, those presents like that, we put ourselves into those gifts in some way. And when a gift is received with joy and with gratitude, it's a great feeling. But this year, if you saw our advertisement this year, we asked the question, what if this Christmas... it gave you everything you wanted. And now and again, we get those gifts, don't we? Those gifts that are just far too much. That's what we say. Oh, this is far too much. Or gifts that are exactly what we need. And when we think of those two things, gifts that are just far too much, gifts that are exactly what we need, actually, we should automatically think of God in that moment. Because not all gifts come wrapped up in paper. Do they? We know that. For example, do you ever think of your life, I'm talking to you, your life, do you ever think of that as a gift? I know that's really cliche, the gift of life. But honestly, do you ever think of your life as a gift? I mean, usually we just take it as a given, don't we? We just find ourselves in a world that is just full of life, a world that is filled with beauty. From thinking about the vastness of space all the way to thinking just minute cells in your body, from the extremely enormous to the minute. All of it's a work of art. All of it is incredible. All of it is beautiful and stunning. Just a couple of photos of just to kind of get us how stunning this is. I've got a picture of your home. This is a photo of the galaxy. There you go, home sweet home. Perhaps you can see yourself in that photo. But again, just absolutely beautiful. It's the vastness of space. Perhaps we need to get a bit closer in order to see you here tonight. So let's zoom in. Here we've got a picture of the solar system. Here you go, it's you. Again, just absolutely stunning, absolutely beautiful. It's just a given, isn't it? Perhaps we need to zoom in again. Okay, let's zoom in to 2.9 billion miles away by the planet Neptune. And here we are, there we are, that little speck is us in that vastness of space, just by the planet Neptune there. And I can't quite see what the weather's doing now, but say if we were to leave here tonight, the clouds finally clear, and we look up to the night sky and we see just the vastness of space, we see the beautiful stars. We realise how small we are, but we just see that in the night sky, this immense mass of stars, this next photo we see, just in that yellow circle, is all the stars that you can see in the night sky from Earth. Which means we can see 0.00000045% of the stars in our galaxy. It's absolutely stunning, absolutely amazing. And this makes us realise we're quite small, aren't we? And not only are we quite small, actually our sun, relatively speaking, is quite small. Just for instance, if you scale the sun down into just one single white blood cell, as we'll see from the next photo, the whole of the Milky Way would be about the same size as the United States. Just the vastness of all this. Oh, we can't really comprehend this. All these things are just absolutely mind-blowing, but we just take them as a given. But now, just from thinking about that vast area, now just thinking about you more personally. Think about your strengths, your talents. Think about, well, your gifts, as the next slide says. Think the things that you are able to do is just amazing. I'm not saying that to make you proud this evening, but genuinely they are. Those things that you can do are unique to you. And where do these abilities, where do these talents come from? And we call them gifts for a reason, don't we? They've been given. In fact, we've been given an awful lot, haven't we? Think about, as a country, think about the health, the wealth, the technology and the freedom that we enjoy today. These things would have just been absolutely unimaginable to our great-grandparents. Society, our society, is just founded on so many givens. Didn't need to be this way, doesn't have to be this way, but it is. And we just take these things as a given. But do we ever think about the giver? And that actually, second by second, minute by minute, we are relying on hundreds of thousands of givens. And every given that we have should be regarded as a gift. Every given that should be traced back to its giver. So let's do that for a second. Think about your life now. Think of all your gifts and your abilities. Think about your health, your wealth, your freedom, the home that you have to go back home to. Now try and go back to the source of every given. Which means we need to go back before this decade, we need to go back before this century, and before that, before this civilization. Go back before trees, go back before lands, go back before mountains, go back before planets and galaxies and the universe, and keep pressing rewind. And you might be thinking at this point, well, that's surely it. What's the point? The universe is everything, right? Well, no, it's not. It's a given. And if we keep pressing rewind, we will find the giver. And what does this look like? Well, traditionally, we call this being God. And in the first sentence of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And here, in the beginning, is the giver to explain all the givens. And when we're looking at that question again, why do we love this whole gift-giving and gift-receiving thing? Why do we love Christmas? Is it because that Christmas, at its best, just reflects something of God to us? But also, I'm aware, if we fast forward to Christmas Day, that actually Christmas Day for many people is actually a really hard time. Ben prayed that in his prayer. Actually, it's a really sad time for many people, especially if we've lost someone close to us this year. But also, at some point as well, I kind of guess that there may be, depends on the family, probably will be a Christmas Day argument at some point. Maybe. Or maybe it's children who didn't get what they wanted. Maybe it's adults that have spent too much money. Maybe it's because someone received socks yet again. And how well-timed was the general election in order to just ruin many, many Christmas dinners and the conversations? But then, hopefully, God willing, 10 minutes later, we go and hopefully we apologise for the situation. And we just say, look, I am so sorry. It wasn't me. I don't know what came over me. Which of course isn't true. Of course it was us. And nothing came over us. The anger that we showed came out of us. Somewhere inside us. And the Bible agrees with that. It says actually in Mark chapter 7, it says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. From within, from the heart of people come evil plans, theft, murders, acts of greed, deceit, envy, abuse of speech, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. I mean, where are we going with this? That despite all the givens we have, I think we can all agree that there's also something frighteningly wrong with our world. On the one hand, yes, it's filled with wonder and joy. It's filled with family, food and festivities. On the other hand, and at the very same time, and perhaps even on the very same day, it is also a dark world. And that is why that even at Christmas, we manage to say perhaps the very worst things, the people we adore most. And the reason why our world is like this, if you think to your Christmas dinner this year, perhaps you have the Christmas crackers there, we pull the Christmas cracker and we put the crown on our own heads. We take the ridiculous thing off shortly afterwards, but symbolically we keep a crown on our head all the year. We want to be centre of the universe, not God. We want to be ruler and the king of our lives, so we reject God. We reject this ultimate good giver. So we would say, wouldn't we, that yes, the world is filled, as we've seen, with just breathtaking beauty, but also jaw-dropping evil. And this evil erupts out of us even at the most wonderful time of the year. And that's because the evil and the darkness isn't just around us, but it's in us. So not only do we create conflict with each other, worst of all, we are currently at conflict with God, the amazing good giver. And this is a huge, huge, huge problem if we haven't dealt with this. Now, many of us will be watching a film on Christmas Day, I'm sure, perhaps after the present opening, Christmas dinner's done, and perhaps we sit down, even ignore the presents we've just got, and we just watch a film. And maybe we'll watch the classic, The Great Escape. By the way, it is on Christmas Day this year, 3:10, ITV, straight after the Queen's speech, so you don't even need to change the channel. I know you'll be watching it, so... But with The Great Escape and many of the films that we love, we love the story, don't we? When the good guy wins and the bad guys get what they deserve. And at the same time, we kind of have a sense that this world is a story. And we know how stories are supposed to end. Good wins, bad loses. But before we celebrate too much, maybe we should be careful what we wish for. Because sometimes you are the bad guy. Sometimes I am. What makes us think that we'll be on that winning side in the end of history? And I say this because even though God, as we've seen, is a good giver, we've put the crown on our own head, we reject him as giver, and this loving God is rightly angered by our loveless, unlovely ways. We're right to think that good will win and bad will lose, but we are on the wrong side of that judgment. We will face a future without any good gifts. We will face a future without any of the givens that we've been taken for granted. Now, I'm aware so far this isn't the happy Christmas message perhaps you came for tonight. But you didn't come here to hear about a human problem of sin that we all have. But I wonder just what your response to this is tonight. I mean, we can try and redouble our efforts. It's great we're all here this evening. Perhaps we go to church regularly. Maybe God will be pleased with that. We can just resolve to do better. It's not a bad idea, but it's not the solution. For example, I'm sure we don't go out and try and cause trouble on Christmas Day. It just seems to happen. And that's because this problem of sin is far bigger than us. And that is why we need a solution that is far bigger than us. So before we go and ask, what can we do about this human problem of sin? Let's ask one more question. What will God do about it? Even though he sees exactly who we are, the darkness within us, the God rejecters we are, God still gives, despite all the givens, he still gives another gift, the greatest gift. It's what we've sung about, it's what we've read about already. Remember Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And that 700 years later, in a stable, then John later writes the same thing in John 3:16, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, for God loved the world. It's for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. He gave Jesus so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the great gift given from the great giver to unworthy people like you and me. And the way we've treated God, the way we've mistreated his world, we really, really, really don't deserve another gift, especially not this gift. But we read, God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. I don't know if you've ever asked that sort of question to your spouse, a family member or a friend, why they love you. So it's a pretty dangerous question if you ask your spouse, why? Why do you love me? Perhaps ask them afterwards, I don't know. But your spouse is then in an extremely difficult position. For example, if they say, I love you because you work and you provide for the family, your blood pressure should rise then. What happens if you lose your job? Would you lose their love? My wife's not here tonight, but if my wife said to me, I love you because of your hair and your chiseled good looks, this is a problem too, is I can tell from your laughter, firstly, it's not true, is it? But even if I did possess boy band looks, good looks fade, that actually one of the only correct answers to that question can be, why do you love me? The only correct answer can be, I love you because I love you. And I always will. Now stop being so needy. But that is the love we all want. That is the love we all long for and desire. Because that is a love that is not based on our character, but on the character of the lover. And amazingly, that's what we have with God. He does not love us because of what we are like, clearly. He loves us because of what he is like. This loving giver gives his son. God gives himself. We've already said, haven't we, that the best presents are the ones we put ourselves into. That is what God has done. The God we've rejected now gives us a gift beyond calculation, beyond measure. Having given us the world, having given us our life, having given us so many givens, he now gives himself. That's what we see at Christmas time. One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, a Hebrew word for God with us. At Christmas time, we see God in the flesh. God put on skin and he lived a perfect life. And while we were still his enemies, while we were still mocking God and rejecting him, Jesus sets out for Jerusalem. And he would die the death he didn't deserve, but what you did. Why would Jesus be so determined to die? Because God so loved the world. And we read, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life? There was a story in the news a while ago, wasn't there, about that really ill 14-year-old girl. And her wish, her dying wish, was to be cryogenically frozen. And in a letter to a judge, she said, I want to live and to live longer. And I think that in the future they might find a cure for my illness and wake me up. I want to have this chance. Sadly, the very thing this girl wanted, the very thing this girl was longing for, is exactly what God has already given us in Jesus. Eternal life. Christmas shows us that God has given us the gift above every gift. So the question will be, what will you do with this gift? Will you open this gift? God wants you to respond tonight. What do we usually do with gifts? I mean, we don't leave them under the Christmas tree until next year. We take it, we receive it. And by receiving and trusting Jesus, you receive this eternal life. Every year, there's the battle of the Christmas adverts, aren't there? The John Lewis usually pumps millions into their Christmas adverts. It's that, I can't remember his name, the little dragon thing, isn't it, this year? But in 2016, Sainsbury's had an advert which was about the ridiculously big, busy father. He was working and going to meetings, but not really seeing his family. And he sings a song called The Greatest Gift. I think it was sung by James Gordon at that point. But after all that, after all the meetings and everything, he's trying to find the greatest gift for his children, he finally realizes the greatest gift I can give is me, he sings. Himself. If God made a Christmas advert, he would say exactly the same thing. The greatest gift he can give us is himself. He's done that for you, Christmas time. Knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus is what will make this Christmas time truly the most wonderful time of the year, the most wonderful time of your life. So again, we ask, what if Christmas gave you everything you wanted? God has done that. With Jesus. In Jesus, there is a joy and a peace with God that starts now and will go on forever. So, again, that last question remains: will you receive this gift? Think about that this Christmas. Amen.